distinguished guests, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, friends and enemies.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
I hate you. I don't even know you, and I hate your guts. I hope all the bad things in life happen to you and nobody else.
But you.
They were so convincing in their argument.
I'm not a businessman. I'm a businessman, man.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, goddammit. Welcome to another wonderful edition of the Couch Sports Podcast. We are the People's Champs. I am your host, David M. Allen, a.k.a. the Renaissance Man in the Black Ric Flair. That is the great Terrell Barron over there.
Hi, people.
Now, how you people doing, man? Y'all all right? I hope so. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. How you feeling over there?
I have some exciting news.
Oh, shit.
I broke my plank record today. At the gym, so I can now plank for over 2 minutes, and it may not seem
actually
like a
that,
lot.
No, that's significant as hell, because I don't know if I could even get 20 to 30 seconds in.
Really? No,
seriously. Okay. Yeah.
Well,
this snacking lifestyle is not for the faint of heart.
No, that's the thing. Like, I figured out a perfect balance when it comes to health and snacking. So I'm going to dedicate my weekdays to working out and being fit, and then the weekends just to be a fat ass, because, you know, I got the kids on the weekends, and I work out here and there with the kids, but mainly my energy is going to be with them. So that's what I've been practicing, health and fitness wise. So I feel great, man.
But actually, truth be told, by the time the weekend comes around, you might not even want to snack like that.
Nah. There's always room for snacks.
No, it is, but I mean, you might.
No. I'm not there yet. I know what you're doing. I appreciate it, but I am a fat ass at heart. I will snack. I don't care. Like,
it is
today,
fat fuckery will continue.
It is fat fuckery Fridays. You have funky fresh Fridays. I'm gonna have fat fuckery Fridays where I'm deep frying Twinkies and.
Oh fuck. And,
No, you know what's funny though? Okay,
State
so.
State Fair style.
What? No, I was just about to allude to that for our listeners that are in the Midwest and the South. When I go to your cities or states, you guys take fat fuck shit to a whole new level. And I don't mean, like, I'm not fat shaming anybody. I'm just saying, like, it's fun to call yourself a fat ass when you could be doing something that's healthy or, you know, something else, but you're being a fat ass, you know. So, you know, deep frying Oreos, you know what I'm saying? Like, using like, actual Pop-Tarts for ice cream sandwiches, that kind of shit. That's shit. Stirring the Kool-Aid with your hand and then just, you know, just that type of shit.
Who the fuck is doing that? Oh, I just picture a fat grubby fingers just stirring the shit out of it, just making tornado like waves.
Peanut, pour me more of that Dick Gregory. Remember on House Party, the fat uncle? Peanut, pour me more of Dick Gregory.
Oh, man. So you're go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Little known fact real quick about Dick Gregory. He actually, in the 1966 election, he received 20,000 votes for president, to be president of the United States.
You're not hearing me. See, the problem is you trying to talk with your shit and you don't know nothing instead of listening.
I like that dude, man. He talks more shit than a little bit, man. That dude just be getting on everybody's helmet while he sips his little green drink. It should be hella funny. Hey, so you were pitching an idea? You say you had an idea as far as articles go?
Yeah, I'm thinking about, well, not thinking, I'm going to. It's just depending on when I'm going to have the motivation to do it, and it'll probably be today or tomorrow. I'm going to start another series on thecouchsports.com. So I have the conspiracy theory series about different scenarios that has happened in sports around the Bay Area in my lifetime. So now I'm taking it a step further. It has nothing to do with sports. It's called, it's either going to be called Sexually Swindled, or it's going to be called Savorily Swindled. And what it's basically alluding to is how you are swindled for everything, whether it's your health, whether it's your ideas, your finances, whatever the case is. And it could be military, the government, people, the media, advertising. And I'm going to just get in depth with it because I have a lot of things to say, and it's going to take more than one story to do it. So look for that pretty soon, guys. I'll be forwarding everybody the information who was interested.
Damn, I like that. That that really plays along with everything we've been talking about as far as the people needing to wake up.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm so, for those of you that don't understand, I'm so happy to, like, even though I haven't physically met anybody like Daryl, Eddie, Lady G, you know, Josie, Dr. Garland, Miss Suede, and a slew of others, like, it's refreshing to see our brothers and sisters out here expressing themselves, telling us stuff, teaching us, educating us about things that a lot of people, a lot of black folks do not like talking about. So the reason why I'm entitled it's either Sexually Swindled is because one of the key ways of swindling people is making things sexy. And it's not necessarily meaning sex. Like, for instance, in sports, we use the term, like Kawhi Leonard. He's not sexy on the stats or whatever. He does his job and go home. So he's not, he doesn't have any flair. So the critics say he's not sexy, which, you know, I don't, you know, there's a subliminal advertising with that is most of the pundits who say that they're white. A lot of white men are obsessed with black males' genitalia. So that would be in my sexual series. You see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
things like that. Like when Draymond Green, his penis pic was circulating. Unless you're a woman or a gay man, why should you care?
Right, you know? Right.
But there was so many straight white men who had so many comments about that type of thing. Same thing with Ray J, Kim Kardashian, sex tape. And it's like, it's subliminal advertising. You're being sexually swindled to believe that that's all you're good for is having a big dick and fucking and all that. But you're stupid up here, or you don't have anything in here, pretty much.
Yeah, and they've been doing that for a long time now, though. I mean, sex sales and violence sales, and is I think we were talking about this earlier over here. I'm not sure if the people know and don't care, or they just really don't know. I'm not exactly sure because it seems like. It seems so obvious, but people fall for it every time. It's kind of like when a new iPhone comes out and everybody has to go stand in line for it, but there's going to be a new one in 6 months. And they're just going to put a letter on it, like iPhone 7S, and then like a couple months later, they're going to be like iPhone 7S Gold. And then people feel, because of marketing, oh, I feel unimportant. I'm going to lose my cool status if I don't go get the latest. But they do this all the time. I seen so many sexually suggestive Super Bowl ads yesterday.
Mm.
And it was hella funny because I was making
Mr. Clean?
Oh, man. Yeah, I seen that
Mr.
shit.
Clean was hyping everybody, wasn't he?
And it was funny because I kept thinking, like, somebody's at home, like, what about the children? And would you please, think of,
please think of the children?
And I couldn't stop laughing, but I'm like, they're going really hard on this shit. But I mean, sex sales, violence sales, racism gets ratings. It's the same bullshit. And I don't know. A part of me is like, well, it's obvious, but I don't know how obvious it is because people fall for it all the time. So it's just hella funny to me at this point. It's like, damn, but people fall for it, hook, line, and sinker, you know, all the time. And marketing is a billion-dollar business for a reason, so they sit there and study you fucks.
No, what do you think the focus groups, support groups, research groups, you know, they use you for a guinea pig, but even myself, like, I remember when I was a video game tester 13 years ago, I knew what they were seeing, what type of games do black men play. You know, I knew the trade-off, but, you know, I didn't have a job, so whatever. But I knew they were, you know, one of the reasons why I got the job for, you know, the few months that I had it was because of skin color. That's it. They didn't care about nothing else. They was like, well, black guys don't seem to play anything else besides Madden or Live. And, you know, here I was off playing Hitman Contracts on PS2, you know, like Need for Speed. I was playing Final Fantasy. And they were like, oh, well, we didn't know this. Yeah, EA Sports, you think? EDOS, all these other software companies. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a matter of whether people agree to fall for it. Because sometimes it's almost like a subconscious agreement. You know, either you fall for it or you don't.
I like that.
It's right there. You're looking at the shit. And you can make the decision right then and there to say, I'm not fucking with this. But so many people do. Anyway, you know?
Yeah, it's
And at that point, I don't feel sorry anymore. Because, I mean... Unless you're really young, you know, if you're like a kid, you don't know any better.
No. But that goes on to the, like you said, about even if the parents aren't around, just like grandparents or... Because here's the thing. Black grandparents and black parents today, there is a huge generational gap. And I think Brother Ron, he mentioned this before, is because now your grandma is 35, 36 years old.
Right.
So there's
and she still want to twerk.
Exactly. And here's another thing. It's funny you brought up twerking. One of the movies I went to go see, kids' movie, Sing. They had the little bunnies twerking to Baby Got Back. And once again, here's two subliminal advertisings. Okay. So let's get all these different colored animals together and they're going to dance and sing. And here you have these bunnies twerking or whatever. And it's like, oh, yeah, this is wholesome. This is part of American value and culture. Why? Because Miley Cyrus did it. But when the black girls was doing it back in the early 2000s, it was like, oh, they're ghetto trash and all this other shit. So there's one subliminal advertisement right there. And the second thing is that, you know, these movies and advertisers want it just like the Super Bowl commercials. Want to make everybody feel like they're inclusive, they're together. How many commercials did you see? Oh, there's a black woman, she's going home to her son, or oh, there's an Indian family, they're doing this, or Mexican family, but they all use this product. So basically, hey, we're all together. But, you know, when a black person gets killed by the police, it's like, how together are we? You know?
Yeah.
In too deep for you?
Nah, it's just a matter of what people choose to kind of fall for. Because it's the same thing with politics. Politicians say the same shit every election cycle.
Message!
And leading up to the election. The same shit for decades. And they never come through on any promises or anything. And nobody holds anybody accountable. Nobody cares. That's why sometimes it's kind of hard for me. Because sometimes I'm trying to figure out, what do people really care about inside? You know, like the values, or what do you really care about in life? People just like to complain about shit, but nobody ever does anything or switches things up or you know, takes that self-responsibility or anything. It's just all right, let's go about our daily lives. Let's keep complaining about shit, and let's forget about it. This over here is entertaining me, and yeah.
Yeah, it's social media and also the liberal media that does that, you know, like, we could take this past election. You know, everybody's panicked because Donald Trump wants to build this wall. Hasn't he always said this is going to be the first order of business when he wins? So it's like, what did you think was going to happen? You know, you guys are so blinded by celebrities. You know, it takes a celebrity to get out a word that a common person like yourself or I would say. But because we're not endorsed, or we don't have a certain type of following, no one's going to listen. You know, that's where you have to draw the line, you know?
Yeah. But what's funny about the wall is every politician mentions the wall and nobody ever does it, but I think subconsciously everybody's just used to hearing that same propaganda. So by the time he really said, no, I was serious. I'm building this shit. Everybody was like, oh, wait a minute. You know, because America's so used to just bluffing and shit now.
I think not only just talking shit, and you could apply that to anywhere. How many times have yourself or I been in a past relationship with somebody and you tell them something and they don't believe it? Then when it happens, they're like, oh my God, I didn't expect that. It was like, well, that's what I was telling you. Well, that's because, you know, somebody in my past, you know, didn't do that, or they did the opposite of what you said. Well, you can't compare everybody to myself. We're all individuals, you know?
Yeah, no. Yeah. Yeah, but.
Told you he was going to get it, girl. I told you. No.
Did you watch the now? Well, I'm ranking him second. But white America is going to have him be the first. But did you watch the second greatest white man to ever live make that comeback yesterday?
Yes. And here's the thing. Everybody knows why I don't bet when Tom Brady's in the Super Bowl now. I told you I'm 0 for 6. I wanted Atlanta to win. I did not. Them being up 28 points at halftime did not faze me one bit, because Tom Brady lives in this moment. He lives in this moment. Atlanta's, yeah. You know, have only been in the Super Bowl twice. Last time was in, what, 97 or 98 when they played the Broncos?
Yeah.
So, Brady, this is a 7th Super Bowl. He is not fazed by it. Atlanta had questionable play calling. They gave up. They couldn't convert anything. And I honestly thought, James White was going to win MVP. Like, just for the monster game he had, you know. But of course, I mean, I'm not taking nothing away from Tom Brady, but I'm just like, gosh, like, he wasn't the only one I was killing. You know what I'm saying? He it took him a while to get going. So
it did, but I mean, in this moment, and him almost having 500 yards, and it being New England, it being him, all the, they wasn't gonna let nobody else. I don't care if he would have had just 196 yards, they was gonna figure out a way. Just based off the scramble alone, just that one scramble he had. Yeah, he deserves it. Give it to him.
They're going to figure it out. That fourth quarter, man, with Julio Jones' catch, I thought that was the catch to cement the game. I think it was like 4:26 left in the fourth quarter. I was like, okay, they might be able to get, you know, run the clock down, but they ran out of timeouts. And then one of the greatest catches of all time. That was fucking impossible.
I'm not going to lie. That was dope.
There's no way he's supposed to catch that. There's three defenders on you, and it was tipped.
I was saying he couldn't do that again if he wanted to. No. If they tried to do that shit again, he couldn't do that shit. That's not happening. But that was super dope. It really was. That was probably the best catch in the Super Bowl I had ever seen. Bullshit. I mean, the David Tyree helmet catch was whatever to me. Actually, the Julio Jones catch was the first time I really got excited over a catch until that Julian Edelman shit happened. And I'm like, what the fuck? Really, I'm more impressed by the referee who came over there hella aggressive. Just hella aggressive.
I was like, damn, that's how he be giving it to his woman? He was like, ooh.
It was hella aggressive, but
Hey, real quick, shout out to aggressive refs in championship game. I love it. I love that there.
He was hella intense on a slow motion replay.
Here's the thing, though, about that catch. Didn't it look like from one camera angle that the ball had touched the ground for it? I was like, oh, that's an incomplete pass. But then when they showed from the reverse angle, it's just to the naked eye, it looks like it hit the ground. I was like, damn, what a catch.
More so when it was in regular speed, but when they went to that first replay, I said, holy shit. Wow. Yeah. I just want to watch this shit like 8 more times. And then I did, then I was over it, but then it was just like, I can't believe he did that shit. But
it was funny, though.
When they got that field goal before halftime, I said, oh, they're coming back. This is too much time.
Tom Brady was chilling, man. That motherfucker was chilling. And everybody knows how petty I am. So that's why on my article yesterday, I put that, you know, yeah, we scrimmaged Sarah's basketball team at a summer, at an exhibition summer league in 99. And I went off on that team, on that Sarah's team. You know, Tom Brady was already getting drafted at that time. But I cannot stand those all, you know, like Reardon, you know, Sarah, just like those private schools. I used to kill them. Couldn't stand it. But Terrell's the summer league. And I don't care. I went off.
This is happening.
This is happening. I'm getting 20 and 10 on you motherfuckers.
And I'm feeling good about it, too. And I'm doing that thing where I tie my shoestrings together and put my shoes around my neck afterwards while I walk around in flip-flops.
I'm in a layup line, hella aggressive, doing reverse layups and slapping and laying the ball right over the rim and shit.
Then
so
afterwards, you hella point at him?
I remember that game was good, man. I remember. I did not care that game. But back to the Super Bowl. I honestly thought James White knee was down right before the end zone in overtime. I could have sworn his knee was like down before the ball crossed the line, but I think they already ruled it a touchdown, and they weren't going to review that. They were just like, "Fuck it, we already announced." Because if you go back, I went back this morning right before I went to work, and I was like, "Oh shit!" Like I'm watching it, I'm like, "Wow, they So they said it was a touchdown, and everybody started running on the field to celebrate, but the time was still going down, and I guess they were reviewing it.
Yeah,
so
they said, fuck it.
Yeah, they just said, fuck it. His knee was down.
Because they probably figured like I figured. When they was debating it for a hot second, I said, they're just going to punch it in on the next play. Fuck this shit.
Right.
Run this clock out. What's the point?
Right. I know the people who are waiting on 24 Legacy was pissed. They're like, God damn it, the Super Bowl is supposed to be over. We want to watch 24 Legacy. It's supposed to come on at 7:30.
Yeah, that game was kind of wild. But on Atlanta's side, how do you let someone come from 25 down? You don't even score again. That's the funniest part of all.
They
don't do shit else.
They scored in the third quarter. I think 8:33 left in the third quarter was their last score. And Atlanta broke down. I said it. That's where that killer instinct comes from. We've seen it in Michael Jordan. We've seen it in Kobe Bryant, Joe Montana, Tom Brady. You know, whatever the sport is, that killer instinct. Atlanta did not have that killer instinct. They started off great, sacking Brady, getting under his skin, and to them, that was good enough. So they started coasting. You can't play conservative in the Super Bowl. Look at every time somebody plays conservative in the Super Bowl, they lose. So, you know, I don't know why these coaches still do it. So, I mean, the defense was tired though, because Brady just
it was doing all the work.
How many times did Atlanta punt the ball inside the 20, and you just see a penalty happen, then all of a sudden, you know. The Patriots are like first and 10 on their own 10-yard line, and then Tom Brady marches down the field.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Yeah, Atlanta lost that Super Bowl. They lost.
They definitely blew it. That shit. I've never seen no shit like that. Like, you just decide, fuck it, I'm taking my foot all the way off the gas. I really don't give a shit. You
all
know, like,
the way off, though. Not even just like a little bit. Like, you... I mean, and Matt Ryan didn't even have a bad game. 17 for 23, 284 yards, 2 touchdowns. He was sacked 5 times with 144.1 QBR.
I think more upset that he stopped going to Julio. Like, he threw to Julio 4 times. Julio got 4 catches, and they left it alone. That's the best receiver in the goddamn league. And you say, that's good enough. They stopped doing everything aggressive. It was ridiculous to me.
Here's the thing. I bet you, in just typical NFL fashion, Atlanta will not be there next year. Because how many times have we
seen... They might never go again.
Right. And that's the thing. Like Atlanta... Okay, granted, the hype for the Super Bowl, there was virtually none until probably Friday, maybe Saturday. Of course, Sunday, you know. So to them, they felt like they made it because they came out, you know, the defense came out swinging. Once overtime happened and New England won the coin toss, I was like, it's a wrap. This game's over with.
Right. Right. He said, how do you call it? Heads.
Heads.
Flip that joint. It's going to be heads. It's going to be heads.
It's the fucking Patriots.
Matt Ryan looking at the coin like, oh, shit.
He's like, can we get a another coin? Is that a 50-cent piece?
It was funny because the Patriots sent three people out there for the coin toss. Only Matt Ryan came out. And I said, yep, y'all about to get this karma. This is what y'all deserve. All y'all seeing is Matt Ryan out here. Y'all about to get it.
What's his face had a great game for the Atlanta defense. Jarrett, he was sacking Brady. I think he had three or four sacks. He was sacking Brady.
Oh, he was left. Killing.
Yeah, he was getting. He's breaking
about
up.
To get paid.
I've never seen Tom Brady got sacked. I think what five times yesterday.
Yeah, because Freeney got one, and then there was one other youngster. I think 97 or something like that got him early. No, our Jarrett might be 97, but it was another cat off the D line. That got him, and then Freeney got him late in the game.
Yeah, he got sacked five times. One, two, three, four, five. Five times. Yeah. I've never seen him hurried and hit after, you know, how they keep that. I actually like that stat. Hurried, sack, hit while thrown, you know, for the quarterback when they're in the pocket. I actually like those stats right there. I don't mind.
Oh, yeah, that. Yeah.
You know, because the trenches is very important. Your O-line protects you, so... I never seen Brady under that much pressure. Like, damn, they're really like trying to tear his head off. This is good.
Yeah, especially that first half. Well, even some of the third quarter, but fourth quarter, it was over. They were gassed, and yeah, I enjoy the fact that they cared.
We're talking about great Super Bowl catches, real quick. I'd have to put the Steelers when they played the Cardinals in the 2010 Super Bowl.
Holmes.
Yes, that toe tap for the win.
Yeah,
that was beautiful. Yeah. That was a beautiful catch as well.
Yeah. And I'm 2002, Tim Brown caught a slant pass. Excellent two hand, just textbook.
Timmy, still isn't in the Hall of Fame, huh?
Yeah, he made it last year.
Oh, yeah, okay. I'm sorry about that.
On Tom Flores.
I want to talk to you about the Hall of Fame real quick. So Terrell Owens isn't going to make it this year.
Nope.
I'm happy LaDainian's going to make it. Kurt Warner. Here's the thing about Kurt Warner. The beginning part of his career, he was just an average quarterback. And then he started winning. And then after that, he was just a stat stuffer. Like, once he left the greatest show on turf, you know, went to Arizona, went to New York, or whatever the case was, it was like, I kind of felt like it was Emmitt Smith just trying to break the rushing record. You know, it's just like, you're just stat padding. So, yeah, I never thought Kurt Warner was a great quarterback.
I think his story was more impressive than his career.
Yeah.
Like, how he was bagging groceries, and then he got a call, and then I think that was more impressive than anything he's really done. I mean, that high octane offense, all they needed was somebody with a big arm that was semi accurate and it was going down. So all they really did was chuck the ball deep. I mean, you had two workhorses, man. Torrey Holden, Isaac Bruce, and you had Marshall Faulk
and Azir Hakeem.
Thank you. They had a great O line, Orlando Pace and shit. We could have won. I could have won a Super Bowl. I could have. Shit. And I was in my prime.
Dave with his vintage Terrell shirts. And didn't you have the Marshall Faulk at that time, too? Remember the
Nike? I think I did.
Those were hella clean.
I would have played in them, too, on the turf.
Dust them off.
Vintage Terrell striped shirts during interviews and shit.
Having Corey iron it. I missed those days.
Yeah, the good old days. But I'm looking forward to this Pistons Sixers game tonight because I want to see Joel Embiid. He's about to get it in. Who is about to check that man? Andre is too slow and a little lazy. He's not about to go out there and check him. The thing about Joel is, if you go out there to go try to check him on that shot, he's going to go right past you. He's the new breed of centers, man.
I don't, and like I alluded to on earlier podcast, and I learned my lesson about throwing random arbitrary numbers out. so we'll say six podcasts ago, Joel, I don't mind him when he shoots threes because he's, you know, he only shoots like 3-4 threes a game, and it's not taking anybody out of the game. And he has a deadly pump fake, even though it looks so slow and predictable, he gets everybody all the time with that pump fake. So
yeah,
as far as the future, him, Cat, Carl Anthony Towns, Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, you know, the league's in good hands at the big position. It's time that they Porzingis, when he develops like a good all-around game.
Once he gets these chuckers out of his way, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Then it's going down.
So there was a trade last week. Spencer Hawes and Roy Hibbert got traded for – shit, who did he get traded
Miles
for?
Miles Plumlee?
Yeah. So Plumlee signed a 4-year, $60 million contract with the Bucks this past offseason. Imagine making $15 million a year starting this year, this season. You're only averaging 2.9 points and 2.6 rebounds a game. And as Charles Barkley said, this is the problem with the league because you have average players making $15 million a year who feel like, hey, I'm making this much money. I don't need to work harder on my game.
That's actually my problem right now with a lot of Pistons fans and KCP, and them wanting him to stick around. And I get it. I get he's sort of a fan favorite. They're trying to convince me. Listen, I'm not from here, so I don't have this whole this pride of, you know, I don't have the mentality of yeah, I just want somebody to stick around because we need somebody great. I've watched the Warriors suck for decades, so it's I've seen Jason Richardson do good things, but it's like, all right, now surround him with something. I never said, yeah, now pay him $25 million. It was fuck
right.
That. Fuck that. So at the end of the day, just because you score 38 points, you just happen to have a good shooting night, doesn't mean you can go out the next day and score 4 points, and in the next game you score 2, and then I'm supposed to still feel like, yeah, pay the man.
Right.
Get the fuck out of here. He has so many single-digit games this year. It's crazy. Every time he scores 20-something, he follows it up with a 8-point performance or 7 or 3 points. or you know, like, what the fuck are we talking about? Just because you have someone of decency that you want to hang on to, are we serious? So, yeah, you got all these average-ass players making all this crazy money, and the league is a little watered down to me, and it's I'm trying to accept it, but it's hard because I'm not from this era. So I'm looking at it as, like, what are we talking about? Are we crazy? What are we talking about?
Dave, you know it's hard out here for a pimp.
It sucks, man. I feel like we the last of the dinosaurs, and it's like a... like, wow.
Do you think that there is a youngster, let's say between the ages of, I'll say 15 to 21, that thinks the same way we do about sports? I'm not talking about music or life or politics, because you're not supposed to be
there. It's somewhere, saying, somewhere, yeah, yeah.
Do you think there's one? Because
there are students of the game. Yeah, yes. Yes, that's actually... I picture that one person, guy, gal, whatever it is, whoever's just hardcore in the sports, I picture that one person, and that's kind of who I feel like we're talking to every time we record or every time we do a basketball article. I'm not looking to talk to the fanboys. I'm looking to talk to that one other person who thinks like us, because shit is crazy to me sometimes.
Can I read off a stat to you?
Yeah.
Since KCP scored 38 points, the following game after that, he scored 2, and the next game after that, he scored 4.
Right. Right. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And he went Kentavious. Like 2 for 7.
Kentavious.
Right.
That is a raw ass name. I like that name. But what is the square root of this apartment, Kentavious? You need to focus on trying to be a playmaker, because guess what? Reggie Jackson's going to be gone pretty soon. Look, they have Reggie Jackson on NBA Inside Stuff, and he was getting interviewed by Kristen Ledlow. He just seems disinterested in playing good fundamental basketball at the off-guard position. And you're right. A lot of these point guards today, these Jeff Teagues, these Reggie Jacksons, they're just undersized shooting guards pretty much.
Right, right. I think Reggie Jackson will make a great six man.
Yes.
I think...
In our era, yes, but in today's era, that's the norm.
Oh, everybody's chucking right now. But in my mind, he is a great six man on a good team. And KCP is a role player to me.
Yeah.
They want to treat him like he's a star out here, but it drives me crazy, cuz what are we looking at? Are we looking at the same thing? Are you watching the game, or are you on your phone the whole time, and when he scores, you look up and you cheer?
To me, I'm just baffled, because I'm like, what the fuck are – like, I've always said this season. What is the Pistons' identity? Whose team is it? The longest win streak they've had is 2. They'll win 2 in a row, and then they'll lose 5. Then they'll win 1. Then they'll lose 3. Then they'll go on a 2-game winning streak, lose 1, and then win 2. And then it's like, oh, in the past 5 games, they won 4. You're like, yeah, but look at the 10 before that.
right. And who would they beat? Who would they beat? Because just because you beat the Pelicans, I am not impressed.
You're supposed to beat
people
the Pelicans.
People were out here hanging their hats on the fact that they hung with the Warriors in that first game they played them. Yeah, but they hung in there. Are we hanging our hats on the fact that people are hanging in there?
Listen, I know bad teams... I know bad teams, they use a barometer with other teams to measure themselves. Like, okay, we hung in there with the Warriors. So that's what Stan Van Gundy's like. Well, guys, you know, on December 23rd, 2 days before Christmas, we hung in there with the Warriors. We almost beat them. So where's that team at? It's lack of motivation. And when you have greats like Shaq, who's played for Stan Van Gundy, saying it's not a coaching problem, it's a personnel problem, because when Shaq was like, Stan Van Gundy had him prepared and, you know, he made sure that you had what you need to go out, the tools to be great, then that's on the players end, you know?
It is, because, okay, they lost by 6 to the Warriors. Next game, they beat a LeBron-less Cleveland Cavaliers, who just came off a back-to-back against the Warriors on Christmas, and beat them by 16. Everybody went nuts. What are we talking about? Then he lost a couple of them in a row.
But didn't the Suns beat them? Are you lost to the Suns? Like, I don't. This is the problem. What place is the Pistons in right now? They're in ninth still.
They're in eighth. But it's the freaking Eastern Conference, so I'm not impressed again.
So we have All-Star Week coming up in a week and a half.
Yes, and none of them are invited.
Yeah, there's no representation from the Pistons, huh? Right. Not the rookies.
Not a goddamn thing. No, they don't deserve it anyway. I want to ask you something real quick. Did you watch that Warriors Kings game?
Yes, I did. I loved it.
What the hell happened? I was pissed off it wasn't on TV while out here.
First of all, shout out to the Kings for calling out, you know, bandwagon Warrior fans. That shit was classic. I don't know if you saw that.
I didn't. I have to look it up.
I think I emailed you the link. They had a bandwagon cam.
Oh, you did.
Oh, my God. That shit had me in tears. Like,
did they do it like the Knicks did it? Because the Knicks did it, too, earlier this year.
I don't pay attention to garbage teams like the Knicks, so I'm sorry.
No, this was made national like headlines. It was hella funny.
It was saying things like
this person doesn't even know where the Warriors really play. This person's been a fan since 6 months ago and shit like that. It was hella funny.
It was saying that they made fun of the fact that the Giants are in the in the odd year, so that means they're not going to win. So I'm going to be a Warriors fan right now.
Wow.
Like, I drove 90 miles to see I drove 90 miles to see Draymond Thompson win or something. And for those of you, I don't know if the video's on, I'm wearing my I'm a diehard Warriors fan. And I'm poking
the video's
at,
on.
This new age breed of Warrior fan. That's all I'm doing. It was enlightening. So what happened was, and this is some real shit right here, and I kind of got to go off track to get back to where I'm going. I believe the year was 2013. It was either 13 or 14. It was the year where the Thunder played the Grizzlies in the Western Conference semifinals without Russell Westbrook. Mm. Kevin Durant had the last shot to win the game because they took the Grizzlies to 6. And he hesitated, and he pulled up. And he took a bad shot, a terrible shot. KD's head wasn't in the game. He was sulking. The same, I saw this, you know, fast forward 3-4 years later, even though it's a random game against the Kings, he started off 1-for-10. Same thing happened. KD was at the top of the wing. Draymond gives him the ball. You're Kevin Durant. Fire it. He hesitates. He does that self-conscious triple threat. Draymond Green comes over like, what are you doing? So Draymond Green took the ball from him pretty much. Kevin Durant just kind of like it looked like a big brother came and just took his toy from him. And Draymond fired a three and it missed. And I'm like, this is something that people don't see. They don't see that when his jump shot, just like Klay, is not falling, they pout. They sulk.
They suck. Yeah.
Yeah, I see that in 42 minutes he went 2-for-10 and 10 points.
Right. He did have 5 blocks, but it's like who gives a shit about that? Like, watch the game. He got taken out of the game. And when his shot wasn't falling, he really looked like he looked lost. He was a liability. And I don't know if this is generational cuz everybody has bad games, but when you're sulking and you can see it, and when you're a superstar and the role player is telling you that, hey, you need to shoot or you need to get the fuck out the way, then there's something really wrong there. And also, Draymond and KD did get into it on the sidelines, and I was glad that Draymond called him out again. Because remember earlier this season, Draymond called him out when we had a game and KD shot an ill-advised shot and we lost the game when he could have went to the hole. So there's some mental things going on. I saw KD get taken out of the game.
Nobody has time for being unsure at this level.
No, it's another conspiracy theory because as ESPN reported, when Kevin Durant came here, one of the things he wanted was to be coddled and babied because he didn't want to be villainized or how are they going to minimize him being vilified for leaving OKC to come here. You know, so of course the Warriors, this fan base here in the Bay Area is very inclusive and very, very coddle-like. So I'm waiting to see that OKC game because I know it's going to be emotional for him, and I want to see the fans.
He's going to go like 3-for-13 because he's going to get booed.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, it looks like DeMarcus punked him 32-15-9.
Yeah, he had a nice reverse over JaVale McGee too.
Oh shit! Okay,
that game was a terrible.
Aaron Aflalo went off for 2.
But what did that Kings fan tell you when we first started doing the podcast? I think you can quote me on this. It was either podcast 3 or 4 because that was when we were talking about the free agency of the Kings, and you got hella mad about that dude telling you Aaron Aflalo was gonna make a difference.
Yeah, that part. Oh, shit. I see Darren Collison was dropping dimes. He had 3.
Right. You know who played pretty good was Willie Cauley-Stein. He played good for them.
I wish he would start, man. I really do. This whole Kosta Kufis bullshit, like, what are we talking about?
Yeah, the Kings are inept as always.
Sometimes you gotta boost people's confidence, man. You do. Like, you have somebody with potential. He's hella rangy and shit. Like, just let him play.
Like, you really think that you guys are gonna make the playoffs? Like, seriously, you guys aren't gonna make the playoffs.
They don't develop talent, and they never have. But it it sucks. You got to start sometime or another, though.
Just look at Macklemore. He's struggling. His confidence is shot because you put him on a trade block, then you took him off. Now he's about to be a restricted free agent. He doesn't start now. He was the 10th man on the bench the other night. I'm like, wow.
And he has been for like 2 years. It's like he's trapped in this little, well, as Rudy Gay called it, basketball hill.
Yeah. The Kings.
Shit, stupid, man. All right, well, the next game is, I think, Chicago.
Chi-Town.
Yeah, on Wednesday.
That was a young Jeezy like, yeah. Yeah. I don't listen to young Jeezy, but I remember he always did that.
Let's go,